Well, great to be with you. One of the privileges that I get, because I plan all the preaching, is that I give myself the first Sunday of January, usually. And here I am. So I just want to really share something with you this morning, which I think will be just hopefully setting a tone for this year, certainly for the coming months anyway, and really just share something with you which has been on my heart for quite a few weeks now, and just really challenge us really to something more than we currently are. I want to read to you from 1 Kings chapter 22. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but it's quite long, and I don't think time will allow us, but we're going to start from reading from verse 1. And excuse me. This is the period of time when the kingdom of the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah have separated from each other after Solomon died. His son took on, he was the king of the southern kingdom, but a different king in the northern 10 tribes. And so that's the context of this. And this story comes from the fact that for the first time, really, there was some sort of alliance between the northern king and the southern king, Ahab and Jehoshaphat. So it says, 1 Kings 22, verse 1, "For 3 years there was no war between Aram and Israel. Then during the third year, King Jehoshaphat of Judah went to visit King Ahab of Israel. During the visit, the king of Israel said to his officials, 'Do you realize the town of Ramoth Gilead belongs to us, and yet we've done nothing to recapture it from the king of Aram?' He turned to Jehoshaphat and asked, 'Will you join me in battle to recover Ramoth Gilead?' Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, 'Why, of course, you and I are as one. My troops are your troops and my horses are your horses.' Then Jehoshaphat added, 'But first, let's find out what the Lord says.' So the king of Israel summoned the prophets, about 400 of them, and asked them, 'Should I go to war against Ramoth Gilead or should I hold back?' They all replied, 'Yes, go right ahead. The Lord will give the king victory.' But Jehoshaphat asked, 'Is there not also a prophet of the Lord here? We should ask him the same question.' The king of Israel replied to Jehoshaphat, 'There's one more man who we could consult the Lord for us, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything but trouble for me. His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah.' Jehoshaphat replied, 'That's not the way the king should talk. Let's hear what he has to say.' So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, 'Quick, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah.'" I'm going to stop reading there, but it goes on, and Micaiah comes, and they tell him he should prophesy the same as all the other prophets the false prophets. And so he sarcastically does, but then eventually tells Ahab he's going to die in battle. And Ahab says, "See, I told you." He always says the bad thing about me. You can read the rest of the chapter later on. The challenge I want to put before us this morning is this challenge: whose voice are we listening to? You know, Jehoshaphat says, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here?" And in fact, there was more than one. We read of Micaiah in this chapter, but we know very well that Elijah was prophesying at the same time, and the 400 prophets that appear here in this story are probably the 400 prophets that Elijah later killed on Mount Carmel when he challenged the people to follow Jehovah, the Lord, and only him. And so there's more than one prophet here, and Ahab says the same thing about Elijah, doesn't he? "You troubler of Israel, you're the one that always gives me grief and problems," because Ahab's not willing to listen. And over the last few weeks, this has really been on my mind, this phrase that Jehoshaphat says, "Is there no prophet in Israel?" Because the challenge for me and the challenge for us is that same question: is there no prophet in Folkestone? Now, I know very well there is, but the question actually is, who's listening to them? Are we listening to them? Isaac, can you put that meme on the screen for us? Some of you will have seen over the last few weeks and months very many memes like this going around on Facebook and other social media. Stay tuned, because after the break we speak to leading virus expert Debbie off Facebook. Most of you will have seen similar. You can lose that now, Isaac. I just thought that was a humorous way to say, you know, whose voice are we listening to? Are we listening to an expert, or are we listening to someone who thinks they're an expert? And actually, more importantly, are we listening to someone who thinks they know about God, or are we listening to what he is saying to us? In this story, you know, that we read there in 1 Kings 22, Jehoshaphat's made an alliance with Ahab. Ahab is known to be, you know, not a good person. It's not necessarily a good thing to be making that alliance. But Jehoshaphat, I can't remember which way around it was. One of them's son married the other one's daughter. Something like that. Anyway, they've made an alliance together. And in one sense, we it's not sensible us to make those type of alliances. But actually here, Jehoshaphat has an influence, because he said, come on, let's hear the voice of God. Let's hear the voice of God. What does God say about this? And in one sense, and I'm not really going to talk about this much today, but perhaps in the coming weeks, you know, we have a responsibility to be that voice in our community of Jehoshaphat. Where is the voice of God in this? And we'll look at this over the coming weeks. But you know, where is God's voice in our community? And often it needs to be us. We need to be that voice. But in this case, Jehoshaphat was bringing that. Is there no prophet of the Lord here? You know, there's many voices for Ahab. He's got 400 other prophets of other religions and worshipping other gods and all of that stuff. And we've got so many voices coming at us all the time. Wherever it might be, from our family, from those around us, from Facebook, from the news, from whatever it might be. But is there no prophet of the Lord here? The sad reality is that we have so many voices that we often don't hear the voice of God. I think there are two reasons for that. The first one is this: we don't want to hear what God wants to say. That's where Ahab was. He said, I don't want to hear from him. He just prophesies trouble. And how many of us know that when we hear God's voice, he's going to want us to change something. He's going to want us to do something. And we don't want to do it. So too often, the voice of the prophet is quiet because we don't want to hear. We're certainly in a place today where the world doesn't want to hear the voice of God. Those around us in our community, it's rare that somebody says, what does God say about this? But in too many circumstances, too many times, neither does the church want to say, what does God say about this? We've made an alliance too often with people whose agenda is not to hear the voice of God. They've got a scheme like Ahab, let's go and get back Ramoth Gilead, let's rescue this city that's been taken from us. And he's just going to go for it without thinking about what does God say about this. And Jehoshaphat comes and he brings the voice of God to this. He says, come on, let's hear what God's voice says. So in a sense we can say he's bringing a positive influence. It takes a few more years before Elijah comes and destroys all those other prophets. What's the voice of God on this matter? Yet too often here in the church, in churches all over the place, we just get on with our plans without stopping to say, what does God say about this? And I have really, over this last months, almost a year now, have just been really challenged. The church has been stopped in its tracks. We're not able to do the things that we've always done. And it's almost God saying to us, come on, listen to my voice. What am I saying in this circumstance? You've just been getting on with your own plans. You've been doing the things that you've always done, and you continue to do it because you like it. But what do I say in this circumstance? And too often, we're like Ahab, we don't want to hear because it's not what we want to hear. We don't want to have to change. We don't want to have to do something different. And so this morning I want to cry loud and clear. Is there a prophet in Israel? Whose voice are we listening to? The second reason why we don't hear God's voice is because there are too many other voices and they drown him out. Too many churches and too many Christians who hear the other voices that are going on all the time and forget to hear what God is saying, forget to listen, or the others are just so loud in your face that you're not recognizing what God is saying. You can find two extremes here, and I'm not going to go into this deeply because we've covered it a lot over the last few months. But, you know, there are so many of us that are coming, we've become so accustomed to getting our news, our opinion, our thought and culture from, like, media, mainstream media, that we don't hear what God is saying about it. You know, our mainstream media in general is incredibly liberal. And they've got this agenda of sort of the liberal agenda. And if that's the only voice that we hear, it influences us and it changes our culture. And actually, we need to be saying, God, what are you saying to us? The voice of liberalism is so loud that biblical moral values are lost in the melee of other voices with other moral opinions. Now, other people can have an opinion, that's not a problem. But the opinion that I want to know is, what does God say? What's God's voice on this matter? The other extreme, of course, is those who listen to the voice of the ultra-radical conspiracy theorist right-wing stuff and say, all that mainstream media is rubbish, so I'm going to go over here and get the opposite. Other people with a different agenda, with a different opinion, with a different voice, shouting loudly. And somewhere God's voice is lost. Somewhere he's drowned out by all this stuff that's coming, wherever it's coming from, whether it's TV or the internet or newspapers or books or whatever it is. All these sources of cultural, you know, people with an agenda to change culture. And we have to say, where is the voice of God? Where's the prophet here? Let me tell you this, social media is not a place to get information from. It's a place to have social interaction with your friends, not a place to get information, because the people that put information there do it with an agenda. They want you to think like they think. That's why they do it, whether it be one extreme or the other. And if you watch stuff, you'll get more stuff the same. If I said on a video I sent out the other week, if you go and watch, go home today and click and watch a video of, I don't know, watch a cat video, tomorrow you'll get a bunch more cat videos. Or watch a video of, you know, dirt bikes doing big jumps, Red Bull stuff, that, you know, you'll get a whole bunch more of those tomorrow. Because that's what the computer, he sees, oh, they've watched that. I'll put that again because they like that. And it just does that. And if we watch a particular opinion, we'll get that opinion over and over again. And it changes us because we think everyone thinks like that. Here's the key. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to what he says. And by the way, if you're one of those that complains that Facebook's full of videos and ads and all of that stuff, that's because that's what you watch. If you don't watch that stuff, you get your friends' opinions instead. I don't know if you knew that. Anyway. So this morning, again, I want to cry loud and clear, is there a prophet in Israel? Is there someone who hears God's voice and proclaims it to the people? Is there someone that hears what he says and says, I want to tell you what God says? So two reasons that stop us, but here's the thing that I really want to bring us this morning. We have to prioritize the Word of God over all others. Prioritize the Word of God over all others. What other opinions, what other voices? You know, Ahab has got all these 400 others, but Jehoshaphat wants to hear from one. And I want to be like that. I want to be the one that says, what does God say in this matter? You know, there's some value in many witnesses. Proverbs talks about that. But actually, to me, the value of many witnesses is just to establish that I'm hearing God's voice right. I'm asking other people who also want to hear God's voice and saying, what's God saying to you? That the best value of many witnesses is to be asking other godly people, what's God saying to you? And we begin to recognize God's voice because we're all hearing the same thing from him. So it's not just having many, many voices, but it's saying, I want other voices that are also trying to hear what God's saying. Because the value of many witnesses is trying to establish that you're hearing God's voice. You're hearing the one who's the judge of right and wrong. You're hearing the one who defines what sin is. You're hearing the one who's invited us to be his children, his sons and daughters. When our culture prevails on us to think one way, we have to say, what does a child of the king think like? What is someone who is a member of God's family? What's the culture of this kingdom of God, of who I am? And we're so information-driven that we don't find the moments of quiet to hear God's voice. We need to silence the other voices. We need to turn off the TV, the radio, Facebook, whatever it is. Get alone with him. Read his words. Hear his voice. Many of us, and this time of year, we're all in it, aren't we? We give lots of effort at this time of year to physical fitness. We're going to go and do a run or get on the exercise bike or whatever it is, go to the gym. Can't go to the gym at the moment, can you? But how many of us give that much time to hearing what God says, to devoting ourselves to him? Next Sunday, we're going to start, as we often do in January, a period of prayer. We've got 21 days of prayer. Called it 21 for 21. That's quite good, isn't it? Anyway, so next Sunday we're going to start that. Obviously, we'll talk about that a bit more this week. I've found this thing. I've printed some of these out, but for most of you, we'll send them to you. It's just a little booklet. So a friend of ours, a pastor in Aberdeen, has prepared this for his church. And so we've just said, can we use this? And really, this is focusing on fasting and prayer for 21 days. Now, you may not want to do that, but for those that do want to do that, I wanted to give you some notice, because to think about it for a week and prepare and shop in that way if you want to fast and do other diets and things like that. So if you want to do that, that's here. You can pick one up. We'll be sending them out by email this week for those of you on the email, so you can have it on your phone or wherever. But the challenge for me is that next Sunday we're going to start a period of 21 days where I want every single one of us to say, I want to devote myself to hearing the voice of God. Let's lose some of the other voices and let's focus on hearing his voice. And however you do that, now, you might want to use this one. This is focused particularly on prayer and fasting. So that may be something you want or maybe something you don't want. But there are many, many, many different 21-day prayer guides. Find something this week. Be ready to start it next Sunday so that you can devote yourself over the week, the last 3 weeks of January, to hear what God says the final week of January, we'll be having a week of prayer as a church together. But we wanted to give this 3 weeks for us as individuals to say, God, what are you saying to me? Because we need to hear what he's saying. Is there a prophet in Israel? Well, here's the thing. God's speaking to every one of us. The question is, are we listening? As a church, God has called us to be like Jehoshaphat, to speak up. Say, where's God's voice in this? We need to use our voice for the voiceless of our community. In an uncertain world, which we're certainly in at the moment, we can be a voice of certainty. We can be a voice of hope. However, we can't do that until we first hear God's voice. And so the challenge for us over the coming weeks is, God, what are you saying to me? Where are you leading me? What are you doing? And I just want to challenge you here and at home, make sure you focus your attention on what God is saying, not what the other voices around you are saying. Because we can't be the voice of hope if we've not heard first the word of God. Listen for the voice of God. And just as I close, really, do you know, more often than not, the prophet is ignored. Micaiah comes to Ahab and he is ignored. Now you might say, well, that is just Ahab. But you know, it's not always wrong to ignore the prophet. But what is true is the prophet must speak. When Paul was traveling back to Jerusalem on his final missionary journey, on several occasions, the prophet came and said, when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to be put in chains. And he said, I'm going anyway. The prophet was right to speak. But Paul knew that his destiny was in Rome, in chains. He was going to do what God said anyway, even though. Don't really know why I'm saying that, but don't expect everyone, every time you speak, to respond, because they've got to hear what God says. When we speak, we've got to do it respectfully and with love, particularly if we're bringing a prophetic word to those outside of the church. Too often we act like the Pharisees and we know everything from right from wrong, and Jesus says you're just a bunch of hypocrites. When you see the New Testament believers speak to those outside the church, they bring the message with love and with mercy and with grace. The only time that Jesus and the others speak harshly is to those who claim to be followers of Jesus and don't. Just to close with, there are two things that I just want to just repeat, really, this morning. Is there a prophet of Israel here? Is there a prophet in Israel? Well, is there a prophet in Folkestone? Is there a prophet in Harbour Church? Ultimately, we are called to be that, every one of us, to hear God's voice and speak. But first of all, we must hear. We must hear what God says. You can't be a prophet until you hear the voice of God. You can't speak God's word to those around you until you've first heard it yourself. Romans 10 says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can there be a preacher without the word of God? So the challenge for us at the beginning of this year is, are you hearing God's voice? Or are you like Ahab, not wanting to hear? Are you like Ahab saying, I don't want to hear because it means I have to change? Or are you just like all of those others? Too many prophets, too many voices, so in your face that you can't hear what God is saying. You know, if you read the rest of that chapter, one of the prophets was so angry with Micaiah that he came and he slapped him. And he said, how dare you speak that way? And sometimes as Christians, it's going to be like that, because the other voices want to be heard. They want to be heard. We have to say, God, what are you saying? Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you that you speak to us, that your voice is constantly speaking and revealing new things of yourself to us. Father, we're sorry for the times when we're like Ahab, when we don't want to hear, when we reject. Father, we want to turn to you and say, God, what are you saying? Not rejecting you like Ahab. Father, we're sorry for the times when all the other voices become so loud that we don't hear yours. Father, I pray you'd help us over the coming weeks to prioritize your voice, to listen first to you, to listen only to you, that you would be the person that changes us, that we can live according to the culture of the kingdom of God, not the culture of this world. Father, I pray you'd help us to silence those voices that are so loud that want to be heard, and to listen to your voice speaking to us. Father, I pray you'd help us. In the name of Jesus, amen.